To you all. And, well, while you were here this morning, I was in Columbia City, so they all send farewells and greetings to you all. They were doing good, and they were excited that we could be able to be with them today. And Randy was with you this morning, so meaning that that went well, and so it's all good. So I just want a couple things. Next week is our 3-day fast. Which is tough. Challenged them today a little bit with that. 3-day fast runs from Sunday night at 6 o'clock to Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. And we're going to be fasting. I'll talk more about that. But just start to prepare your heart for that. It's basically you need to find something that you're going to fast for yourself. I mentioned that. I'll be mentioning that spiritual growth is always a key thing. But also for that the vision that God's given to us for 2016, whatever all that may be, that God will bless that, and we will be able to advance forward in whatever God calls us to do, because God is using us. I don't know if you know that, but God is using us, and it is always good to be used by God. I don't know if we see it, but God is using us, so and he's using many of you. So, but tonight, we're going to go way back, so I want you to go to Genesis. That's that first book in the Bible. We're going to go there tonight, because I want you to see how, you know, The Old Testament mirrors the New Testament. So we see Christ-like figures in the Old Testament, and we see some of their characteristics, and they could only display and live out those Christian and Christ-like lifestyles because they had God's Spirit in them. As Jesus says, there is no good man. There is no good man. But what can make a good man is what is in a man, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? It is the Holy Spirit. So we need... we need the Lord. We need the Lord, okay? We need the Lord. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in depth tonight. But I want to catch you up tonight a little bit here. We're going to be in a few chapters tonight. But I wanted to start in 13. I think it said, I might have said 14, but 13, Genesis 13. We're going to be there just for a moment. And we know that Abraham is moving off to a land that God's going to give to him. And some promises that he's made to God, God's made to him. And so Abraham is being obedient. He took his nephew Lot. There's a few spats going on about some water holes and some watering some cattle and some things that they have. And so they decided to make a split. And so they said they need to do that. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 10. Now, verse 10 says, Lot looked up, and so Abraham says, oh, you want to go to this side? You want to go to this side? You want to go to the east? You want to go to the west? Which way you want to go? And he says, so he picks it. So he says, Lot looked up and saw the whole plain in the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men departed company. Their family, they departed company. I want to tell you, begin to see some of the characteristics of Lot, in my opinion. This is my opinion. Lot chose. Lot should not have chosen. Abraham should have chose. Young people, you need to pay attention and listen to those who are older than you, those who you may not think they're wiser than you, but you need to listen and watch and take heed and give respect to those who are older than you, because we tend to choose what happens. I just put myself in the young version. We young people, we tend to put ourselves in this position where we want to pick. We want to choose because when we're immature in our Lord and immature in life, we begin to choose with our eyes. We choose with what feels good. We choose with what looks good. And so Lot did that. He said, well, I'm going to choose that land because it's well watered. We just had some issues about watering land, watering animals. I want that for me. He was looking for what was going to fit best for him. A lot of us do that. We look to see what looks best for ourselves. So Lot chose himself that land, and he went out there, and he's a part of that, okay? So he's there. Now, some time goes on. Abraham, his name is not Abraham yet, it's Abram, but for tonight's sake, we're just going Abraham, so I don't get tongue twisted. But Abraham is doing his thing. He's setting off into another land, out there where the Canaanites are and all that kind of stuff, Canaan. But here we're going to talk about Lot tonight. We're going to talk about Lot tonight in some ways, because Lot is a guy who's a lot like us. We're a lot like Lot. We're a lot like him. We want what God has to offer, but we want to do it our way. We want what God has to offer, but we want to do it in the way that we want to do it. And we want the things of the world, yet we're trying to put one foot in the world, and we want one foot in the church house. We want one church with one foot with God, and we want one foot out there in the world. And it doesn't work that way, okay? But we keep trying to do it that same way. We keep trying to do it the same way. So we'll skim over some verses. Oh, so in 14, chapter 14, what happens is begins to be, there's this big battle going on with all these kings and lands and all this battle fighting. And what happens, it ends up being in the area that Lot's involved in. Okay? It ends up being in the area where Lot's involved in. And so what happens is, in verse 12, it says, they also carried off Abraham's nephew. So they went and they sacked the cities. And so Sodom and Gomorrah, they sacked them and they took all their food and they took everything. And then it says in verse 12, they also carried off Abram's Lot and his possessions since he was living in Sodom. I don't think you realize tonight, some of us do, I don't think some of us really realize how much God is watching. There's not a situation you're in that God doesn't know about. There's not a situation that you're in that God doesn't care about. There's not a situation that you're in that God can't handle. I want to tell you, you've never been to the point. I've never been to the point where my whole family has been taken away and everything that I got has been taken away and myself have been thrown into captivity. Okay? That's kind of some of the stuff that's going on in the Middle East right now. That stuff's been going on for a long time. But I want to tell you that God is watching. We want God to come in like a Superman and fix it and slam and beat all of our enemies down, fix all of our financial issues, help us with the health, give us everything, give us the perfect wife, give us the perfect husband. Boom, we got it. Doesn't work that way. We live in a broken world. You know why? Because we're broken. We're broken people living in a broken world. The only thing that's good in our lives is the one that we serve, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's good in our lives, yet we want to pull away from him. And we don't want it, we want to do it our way. And so what happens is Satan comes in once again, and he comes in and he steals. Remember, we talked about that several times. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. The Bible says he's a liar. He's the father of lies, but he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy your family, your life. This is exactly what he's done here. He's coming in. He took Lot. He took everything that he's got, and he's going. But here's a problem. There's a man who understands and knows what we're talking about tonight. There's a time to put your foot down, and then there's a time to let things go. We like to put our foot down on everything. Anytime that somebody attacks us, we want to put our foot down. Anytime we have a bad issue, we want to put our foot down, or we want to stomp our foot, cry out to God, get all upset about it, not take the bad with the good. We just want the good. But Abram knows what. Abram does something different. He does something that David does later on at Ziklag, when the same thing happened to his family, and his men were ready to stone him. It says in verse 14, he hears about it. Somebody escaped, and he hears. They guess what? I'm going to tell you, well, let's read it for a minute. One who had escaped, in verse 13, one who had escaped came and reported it to Abraham, the Hebrew. It's amazing that he came and told Abram. He came and told Abram. He came and told Abraham. He came and told him. He reported it to him. I want to ask you, when you're in trouble, who do you go to? It's good to go to somebody that's walking in the ways of the Lord. It's good. You need them. But the first person we need to go to is the Lord. Amen? We need to go to Jesus. We need to get on our knees before him and let him know, Satan has stole something out of my life, Lord. Satan is trying to destroy my life. He's attacking my family. He's attacking my health. He's attacking my job. He's attacking my children. He's attacking my marriage. He's attacking my ministry. And this is what he does. He comes and he runs to Abram. It says, now Abram was living near the great trees of Moreh, and the Amorite, a brother. And he begins to say in verse 14, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in the household. I want to tell you, God uses his people. God uses his people to help people. God uses his angels also to serve and minister to us. God knows how to rescue. God allows things to happen in our life because of the brokenness that we live in. I wonder how the story would have turned around and would have changed if it wasn't Lot who chose that, but if Abraham was able to, and that's where Abraham ended. But no, this is the area that Lot chose. I honestly don't think Abraham would have chose this area because of the kind of people that lived down in there, the sinful things that were going on in that in those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the others. So Abraham decides, I'm going to get 318 of my people because guess what we're going to do? It's time to put the foot down. It's time to go out and get what was stolen. That guy is my family. Now I want to tell you right now, you may stand up for your wife, and I'm going to stand up for my family, and I go down the best way that I could. But nobody's going to fight better for you than Jesus Christ. We don't talk about fighting in prayer. We don't talk about fighting much, but I want to tell you, nobody's going to fight more for you than Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to fight more for you than the Father. Nobody is. Because he sent his son, and his son died for you that you might have life. And him to let that, and let somebody come and steal everything you've got? Our Lord is a fighter. There's times when he refrains and he says, I'm going to let it go on just a little bit longer. And then he puts the foot down. And when God puts the foot down, everything shakes. Everything shakes. And so he gets the 318. It says, during the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hebah, north of Damascus. And he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. What Abraham did, he says, we're going to pursue. We're not going to defend. We're going to go get. Let me tell you something. God's never on the defense. Amen? God is never on the defense. God is always either standing still or he pursues. Abraham says, you know what? Somebody's messing with my family. My family member might not be living right, like some Christians might not be living right. But if you're God's child, you're God's child. I'm telling you, don't go in the hen house and start trying to take chickens because you're going to get yourself attacked. It always amazes me when you get them hen houses and these wolves, these coyotes, and these foxes, they sneak around. You know why? So what are they afraid of? They're afraid of that fight that's going to happen. And so he goes back, and Abraham gets his men, he goes back and he gets them, and he goes back and he takes everything back. I'm going to go get what was stolen. David did the same thing at Ziklag. The Bible says that he went off and they were talking about stoning him. And then these guys were ruthless guys. These guys were tough guys. He said, the Bible says he walked off and he encouraged himself in the Lord. He came back and he says, boys, this is what we're doing. We're going to go get what's ours. There is a time to go get back what is yours. I'm going to ask you, what have you lost? Have you lost your joy in the Lord? Are you losing your zeal for the Lord? It's yours to go get back, but you can't do it on your own. Then you need a 318 people to go get it. You know what you need? You need a prayer life. And you need to get the Lord in. And say, Lord, this is what happened. And go in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? And get back what has been stolen from you. And then we see what happens. He's excited. He comes back. He's got his life back together. He's doing his thing. And some time goes by. Abram becomes Abraham. We're picking up in chapter 18. And we can spend a lot of time here on the conversations and things, but this is, tonight is, there's a lot of messages in, with Abraham. But tonight our focus is Lot, okay? So let's don't get me afterwards. I'm trying to stay in the target of Lot. There's so many little angles to jump out on, but I'm going to try to stay with Lot tonight because that's the key player tonight with Abraham in front. But the Lord appears to Abraham and begins to talk with him some things. He comes to make a visit, tells Sarah he's going to have a child. And they take a walk. You ever have a walk with the Lord? Some of the most awesome, intimate moments you're going to have is when you take a walk with the Lord. I'm not talking about driving, prayer, you know, sometimes we drive and we pray. Sometimes we sit and we pray. But I'm talking about just walking. It's a good time just to walk with the Lord. And you have a conversation out there. God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy them. Instantly, guess what? You know what's going on in Abraham's mind. I got a family member down there. And they go through some conversations. Lord, would you destroy it for 45? Would you destroy it for 25? And it continues to go for 20. Would you destroy it? Continues to go on. At the end of chapter 18, he says, and he answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. And so there was a split. Abraham went home, but God's going to do his thing. In chapter 19, two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening. Now, it's kind of funny. I don't know. You know, we don't know if Sodom moved into the city because he didn't want to be attacked again. It didn't matter because Sodom was sacked already before, so it would make it not be able to be sacked again. Or is he just kind of slowly easing into that lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah type people? Still trying to hang on to what God wants and trying to hang on to that belief in God and those kind of things. Kind of like what we do from time to time. But it says the two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them. And he got up to meet them, and he bowed down with his face to the ground. He says, my lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. What he's saying, he said, you need to come to my house for your safety, and then you need to get out of Dodge. It's not safe for you here. It finds my heart looking at these scriptures right here, knowing that Lot knew exactly who these angels, these men are from the Lord. May not know they were angels, but he said, these men are from the Lord. He knew who they were. It's kind of being busted in a place you know you shouldn't be. Sometimes when you see that Christian walking up and you go, oh, man, we got to go. And he tells them, we're getting ready to destroy. God's going to destroy. Fire's going to come down. It's going to destroy everything. It says, the outcry to the Lord against this people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Verse 13. We're going to destroy it. So I want to tell you something right there. Lot knows. He knows this is the real deal. Why? Because he knows. What's the next verse say? Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry up, we got to get out of this place. God's going to destroy it. His Christianity thing started kicking in. Oh, God's going to destroy it. This is what we want a lot out of our Christianity. God's going to destroy it. I have salvation. I'm good to go. Oh, I'm ready to go. Let's go. But we struggle with the day-to-day lifestyle that we live. And so we see here, he goes out to these guys and he says, listen, it's going to be destroyed. We got to go. Let's do this thing. But one of the most weirdest things happened. He said, hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. Lot believed 110%. His faith was charged all the way up to the peak. He knew that God was going to destroy this place. We got to go. But his sons-in-laws that were pledged to be married, they thought he was joking. I wonder if this is the first time that Lot really got serious about talking to the Lord with his family. I kind of tend to think so. And with the coming of dawn, the angels heard Lot saying, hurry. This is the most, when the moment that you see more, these are the scriptures right here. It was almost like the angel, you got to go. I mean, it's almost like they just made it out because they knew that it was happening. It was coming. It says, verse 15, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away with the city and its punishment. So he says, get out of here. Go. Your family, that other guy, those guys, they're not going. They chose not to go. They chose not to go. So it says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hands, hesitated. How long is a hesitation? A hesitation can be just for a moment. And then we begin to hesitate. And the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters, and they led them out, safely out of the city. for the Lord was merciful to them. God knows you live in a broken world. He knows that your life is broken. You're trying to get it together. You're still messing up. And he still puts in, he still even gives these guys mercy. He's still going to give you mercy. It's not a ticket that we want to punch, but it's something that God gives to us. And we see this, that he gave them mercy. He was merciful. And it says they let him out of the city safely. They did what they were supposed to do. And for us who know the rest of the scriptures, it says that his wife turns around, and she was not supposed to look, but she pretty much loved that lifestyle, the city. That's where her friend, she wants to take a grasp and look back, and she turns to a pillar of salt and then just fades away. Just like she's nothing. Okay? Well, we forgot about something. While he was going through his mess down there and all that stuff was going on, Abraham was back at home. I want to tell you, when you walk in the faith of the Lord and you're obedient to God, doesn't make you perfect. You're still a broken person living in a broken world. You are most likely going to have less problems than somebody who's not living right before the Lord. Now, there are those, when we read the book of Job, there are those things that just happen. There are those attacks from the dark side. There are situations in life that we cannot help. There are things that happen. But for the most part, what we see, verse 27, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place. Abraham, if he had a sleepless night, it was because he was concerned about Lot and that family. But he slept better than all of them did. I'm sure he did. And he returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord, where they had that lookout, looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. Lot hesitated down in the valley into the city. His conversation was, he was a mess. Abraham standing on this like hillside up in this valley, this hilltop, he's looking down on it. What do you think's going on in his mind? I think we can kind of figure that out through the scripture. I think he's thinking about that conversation that he had with God the other day, just yesterday. 10, righteous, so-and-so. Verse 20, he says this, so when God destroyed the cities in the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. So we know that he got out. So Lot got out. So here we find Abraham continuing. First time he goes out, he hears news, and he goes right after it, and he goes, gets what was stolen, and he brings it back. Second time he has to help out Lot, he's not doing it physically, he's interceding in prayer. I call that prayer. When you're talking to God, I call that prayer. Even if he's standing right there in the midst and however all that works. He begins to intercede for him. I'm asking you, who are you interceding for in your family that don't have it all together? Who's struggling in their walk? Who continues to stay down there in those areas where they shouldn't be? Do you spend time enough to intercede for them? I'm going to tell you, prayer changes things. Amen? Prayer is powerful. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How do we know that? That conspired, this is that matches what we see here. Lot and his family were saved. Mom chose to look back. She failed that part. She turned to pillar of salt. She dies. But sometimes you can't, listen to me now, sometimes you can take the man, the woman out of the sin, out of the junk, okay? Sometimes you can't take the junk out of the person. You can remove them from the place, but you can't take it out of them. We need to make a choice. The junk that was in their life, all the the stuff that they were around that began to be part of their lives, Lot and his wife and the kids, all that, all the stuff, all that lifestyle became part of their lifestyle. And we see here that they bargain and they get in these caves and they hide, they get safety, and then we see that Lot's two daughters get Lot drunk. And he has sex with one night, she gets pregnant, and the next night the other one gets him drunk again, and he has sex with her, and she ends up pregnant. And then we see this piece in verse 36. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. See, sometimes you can remove the person from the bad place, but you can't get the junk out of, you can't get that junk out. They got to make a choice. We're so impatient. And he says, so they became pregnant. Verse 37 says, the older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of Moabites of today. And the younger daughter also had a son, and his name was Ben-Hammai, and he is the father of the Amorites of today. You know, both of those types of people, those big old tribes, the Moabites and the Ammonites, they became problems later for the Jews, the Israelites. They were enemies, they were problems. They were problems. But this is the amazing piece. God was still rescuing. God was still saving. God was still protecting. God was still guiding them. You see, God will do all that for you too. But it's the choices that you make with what God has given to you. Lot got a second chance at living with his family when they were stolen. He used Abram to go and gasp and get them out. He had another chance of getting it together when he got to leave, and God guided them out in protection with mercy. As we see, God was merciful and pulled them out of that city. And then they go up and they do this other stuff, and it's not even, he's like, how in the world? How can God even have mercy on people that he knew that was going to do these things? So I want to ask you this. Why has God got mercy on you tonight? What things have you done that you were like, whoa, now wait a minute. When we're talking about myself, maybe there's some things I'm doing and saying that maybe I don't deserve it. And you know, none of us deserve God's mercy. Amen? It's a gift. God gives it lovingly. And it's an abundance. It's an abundance of mercy. It's an abundance of love. Now I want to ask you something. There's not a moment in this time that God was not watching. There's not a moment in this time that God was not a part and not seeing what was going on. Now I want to ask you a question tonight. Has God failed you? And let me ask you this. When you're sick and you got 102 fever, do you not think that God's not sitting there with you? And when you're tired and you zonk off, he's still awake? When your child is sitting there and you're not sure, and it's a six-month-old baby and it's got a fever, and this thing can change the whole family's lifestyle of what can happen with this baby, and all the doctors are saying, there's nothing we can do. You're calling your prayer people. People are doing it. People pray for a moment and then they quit. But you keep on praying, but there's a moment when you can't pray no more. I want to tell you this. Has God stopped being with you? When your marriage looks like it's a wreck, like it's a Titanic, you've hit the iceberg. You said this is the last iceberg we're hitting. This thing is over with. You not think that God's not with you? Let me tell you, I don't care how far your journey goes and how dark it gets, God is still with you. God will give you a way to get out. And if the ship goes down, and that ship goes down and it causes you to die, I want to tell you this. That God is still with you. When I breathe my last, it's going to be by breathing my first. The same thing for you. This is just a journey. We're foreigners and like in a foreign land. My God has never failed me. God has never failed you. We probably failed God many times. I know I have. But I'm thankful that God's had mercy and patience with me. That even when I was like, man, I just had a couple setbacks. What's going on? And then one of my kids gets sick, and I'm out there, and I'm in there, and I'm praying, and I'm praying through the night. I'm sitting up in my bed praying through the night, even if it's for myself. You want to know something? As soon as I open my eyes up, he's still there. When I go back to bed, he's still there. He told him, he said, I'll never leave you. He told Joshua, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. He told Moses, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In the book of Hebrews, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God don't quit on people. People quit on God. And the funny thing is, God's still standing there when they want to quit. I don't understand. He's got a crazy love. He's just got a crazy love. But a shame on us when we think we can go out and sin and think God's just going to let that go by. Yeah, shame on us when we think we can live out there in Sodom and think God's going to rescue us every time. I'm going to tell you something. God disciplines those whom he loves. Amen? But God's going to discipline. But I want to tell you, God is with you wherever you go. No matter what you're going through, God is with you. And I want to tell you this. There's nothing that can happen to you that you cannot make it through. When God is with you, you will make it through. You will make it through. How do I know that? Because I know what the Word says. And I love to learn what the Word says. Do you know that there was a child that David had that didn't live very long? Because of his sin, God said that child's going to die. Do you know what? David made it through that. Bathsheba made it through that. Did it break their hearts? Oh, it broke their hearts. Was it the talk of the kingdom? Oh, that adultery was the talk of the kingdom. God don't care about the gossip. He don't like gossip, but that's not what he's focused on. There's a heart that needed to be changed. There's a heart that needed to be repented. And that was David's. And David repented. And he made it through that horrible time. He made it through that heartbreaking time. No parent wants to bury a child. Job buried several. How do I know he made it? Because God's word says he made it. Even though his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He says, hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't say that unless you've got a relationship with God. You can't say that unless you know the Father. So there's nothing you're going through that somebody has already been through. And there's nothing you're going through that already hasn't had a victory in it. God is amazing. You know the amazing piece, and I'm gonna zip here for just a moment, but here it is. The Bible says that Abraham was tested. He had to take his son up, his one and only son, the gift that God, the promise that came through, Sarah was going to have a child. And he was supposed to take it up to the mountain, and he was going to sacrifice to God. And that's amazing. He was tested. But I want to remind you, I think every we see some of the movies, and they got him all walking up nice and good and chomping up like that. Let me tell you something. I'd be praying. I'd be sweating. I'd cry out to God every 25, 30 steps because I know what's up there. So you say, well, he prophesied and he knew he was going to come back with him. Let me tell you something. You don't know nothing until you know it, right? You can have the faith. That's good. But you got to experience it. And God says, you're going to experience it. I want to test your faith. And testing of your faith is not an easy thing. God will use what's most important in your life, what you value the most. And here it was. Abraham valued his son, Isaac. Lay him out. But I truly believe this. A mountain has two sides. Just as he was coming up the other side, I believe that ram was coming up the other side. What I'm getting at is God has the answer for your issues. You may not see it right now, but just as you're walking and you're staying faithful to God, it's coming closer to you. Because the more you climb that mountain, you're going to come to that peak, and you two are going to meet. And you're going to have a moment with God, and you're going to be tested. And at the moment, you're going to say, God, I believe you. I trust you right there. I believe God will provide what you need to make it through. That's the hardest part about going through a test. And then when you walk down that mountain, I want to tell you this, as a man or woman of God, you will be different. Oh, you will be different than you were when you walked up. Amen? Right, Randy? You're going to be different when you walk and you get your faith tested. You walk up the mountain of faith. It's one way. But when you walk down and you pass that test, it doesn't make you the greatest man in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. You feel the presence of God and you have just grown in your walk with the Lord. You've spiritually grown. And now God's going to use you for bigger and better things. Amen? Let's not have that characteristics of Lot. I don't want to beat him down too hard. But I want to say this. I'm so thankful for guys like Abram. I'm thankful for my Christian brothers who's praying for me that I don't know. Lot never knew. And we don't see in Scripture. Lot never knew. Lot was down in the valley. Abraham's up here. Lot never knew somebody was praying for him. Lot never knew that God was up there having a conversation with Abraham. Do you know what? You're going through some issues, some of you. I want to tell you, there's people praying for you that you don't even know. There's people praying for you that you don't even know about. I look at a bunch of your faces tonight, and I'm going to say, you know what? I know I prayed for you the other day, and I prayed for you the other day. I prayed for you the other day. I prayed for you the other day. And I just know, and you know, it's not making me special, but I just feel called to pray. That's what we're called to do. And then we need to intercede. Intercede for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to ask you, who are you interceding for? Because if you're not interceding for people on a regular basis or from time to time, I'll guarantee you what, you're more likely to be down there than you are up on that hill, watching, observing, and praying to the Lord. Because when you're praying and you're in your right heart, you'll be obedient to the Lord. You'll spend more time praying for others than you do yourself. Amen, Phil? You'll be praying for others more than you do yourself. Doesn't make you a better person, just makes you what God wants you to be. We need to be interceding for a bunch of Lots. We have a lot of Lots in our church. We have Lots in our family. Thank God for the Abrams and Abrahams. So my question tonight is, has God really let you down? Some of you are getting ready to go through a door you don't understand, you don't know why. Let me tell you, sometimes God has got to shut a door before you go through another door. He's going to shut a door. And that door's got to be shut before he opens up another door. You've got to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. How many of y'all want to be honest tonight and say you've been like Lot? I've been like Lot a few times in my life. Way back in the early days, I've been like Lot. I want to know what, I know this too. I've had people praying for me, and I found out I had some Abrahams praying for me. Thank God, and I thank God for them praying for me as I was down in that valley. But I want to tell you this. There's a decision that we need to make when we're stepping out of Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to step out and say, you know what? I will go and follow the ways of the Lord. I want to change my lifestyle. I want to change who I am. I can't do it on my own, but I can do it with the Lord. So if you need to come and pray tonight, intercede for someone else, intercede for yourself. And if you think God is, you know, just have a conversation with God tonight. Be open with him tonight. I feel like tonight we need to be open with him, whatever it may be. And I'll stand right over here tonight. And if you want to come and you want to pray, I'll pray with you. And we'll intercede with you. We'll talk about some things. And we'll just pray.